Hello and welcome to the Behind the Raw podcast, brought to you by Barbells for Boobs, where we strive to redefine the standard of care in breast health and improve quality of life post-diagnosis. I'm your host, Ziana Hansen, and the founder of this incredible organization. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we have Nicole Acoin, registered dietitian, CrossFitter, and the founder and owner of Healthy Steps Nutrition. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on today.
We're excited to have you. And I always like to let my listeners know that this one is not in person. And I'm so bummed whenever I do an episode and I don't get to have that human connection face to face. So it's virtual, unfortunately, everybody. Nicole, you need to come to California, okay?
Hey, we'll actually be together in a month.
I know. I'm so excited about that. So I wanted to make sure that you came onto our show. Not only do you have an incredible breast cancer story that I think that the world needs to hear, but we also have a really big partnership happening with Barbells for Boobs and Healthy Steps Nutrition. And I thought that this might be a good opportunity for us to share with the world why you do what you do and why we are meant to be together.
Goodness, I have goosebumps right now just thinking about how full circle this whole thing has come and, you know, why we started Healthy Steps Nutrition in the first place. And now I have such an amazing opportunity to work with all of your special ladies and help them with their nutrition.
And they are so extremely excited about it. We just put out a survey asking where the most need was in their health, and nutrition is still number one. So I think that just cancer or not cancer, I think that nutrition is the foundation to our health. So I appreciate your work and I'm so excited to hear your story and to dig deeper into our partnership.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, who are you?
Yeah,
so I want to give everybody kind of, I like to make sure that everybody knows kind of where did you grow up? Where do you come from? What are your roots? Tell us a little bit about Nicole.
Yeah. You know, I have such a passion for helping people get healthy. And to me, that looks like dialing in their nutrition. Nutrition was a huge part of my life growing up. My mom was a dentist and she never let us eat candy or sugar. Like, I remember going to the grocery store and my parents would tell me, you know, you can only have a cereal if it has sugar not in the first two ingredients. So it had to be the third ingredient or after. And there are not many cereals that have other ingredients besides sugar as the first two ingredients. So, you know, I knew nutrition was important. Growing up, we were pretty healthy eaters. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was pretty young. We really thought, like, we were all super healthy. You know, like, my mom exercised regularly. My dad exercised regularly. I was a gymnast. My sister was a gymnast. Like, we're super involved with the community. And yeah, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And they told us on Valentine's Day, like, I specifically remember being in the room. And I had no idea how my life was going to change. And, you know, we completely changed our diet, even being more health conscious, only organic and eating a ton of raw things. My dad would make my mom all these juices and give her so many different vitamins. You know, I think you try to do every possible thing, right? Like, you reach for anything that could possibly give you a glimpse of hope. When you're in a really sticky situation, like battling breast cancer. And we completely changed our diet, and she went through chemo, radiation, surgery, and we were in the clear for a few years, and then it came back. And again, you know, really digging into the nutrition piece, and she ended up losing that battle of breast cancer. It came back as bone cancer right after she turned 40. I think she was like 41. That really kind of changed our life. My mom was like the pillar of our family. Like, she did everything. I was super close with her. She had a really successful private practice. She was a dentist. And me and my sister, honestly, I can say I didn't know how bad it was until the very end. Like, I had no idea she was dying until a couple hours before she died.
Oh my goodness. How old were you when she was first diagnosed?
I was nine. I think I was nine when she was first diagnosed.
And how old was she? She must have been mid 30s.
She was young. She was like 36.
Oh my goodness.
So like a year older than I am, 2 years older than I am. It's crazy to think.
How many siblings do you have?
So we have, my mom had two kids. So me and my sister, and then my dad had two daughters from a previous marriage. So there's four girls all together. My dad.
And did you all grow up in Florida? I know you're in Florida now. Did you all grow up in Florida?
We did. So we grew up in Daytona Beach. Yeah, like north, central-ish Florida.
So you're in Florida, you know, nice communities. Weather's always amazing. Your mom doesn't let you eat sugar with, you know, sugary cereal, which is
sugar to anything. Like we didn't ever have
sugar
tea or anything, which I mean, it's great, you know. We get it when we went over to my grandma's house or whatever. But the point is, like, we ate healthy. Like, we thought.
No, yeah.
You know, like.
That's what I'm saying is, like, your family, in my perspective, if you look at that that story that you just shared, it's like you're living so great in a way. You know, your parents are very health conscious. Your mom is a medical professional. And to get a diagnosis of breast cancer that young, that long ago as well, you know, I'm assuming this is a few decades ago.
Yeah.
That, you know, the shock, how did your dad respond to her diagnosis?
You know, that's what kind of gets me choked up the most, right? Because like that was the love of his life, you know, and he literally did every possible thing that he could to like save her life. Like he bought a hyperbaric chamber and we had it so that he could have it for her to go in like every day. Cause he thought that putting, you know, high doses of oxygen was going to kill the cancer. Like they flew internationally, like everywhere to talk to the best of the best.
Goodness. And so when it came back a few years later, it had spread to her bones. Do you feel like they just didn't, do you feel like you were unaware of how aggressive her cancer was because they didn't want to share it with you? Or do you feel like there was so much hope that as a family unit, there was never that thought of losing your mom?
You know, my mom handled every day with so much grace, and she didn't let any of us know that she was like really in the amount of pain that she was in. So it was tough to know, like even my dad didn't really know. Like, you know, years later, like she talked to my uncle who was her best friend. But, you know, I think we all were kind of blinded by what was really going on with like just pushing so much positivity and I'm going to get better and everything's going to be just fine.
Wow. And how old were you when your mom passed away?
I was 14 when she passed away.
I'm so sorry.
So it's like a five year battle, wow. Essentially, right?
And what did you're 14, you're in high school. What did the rest of that kind of, what did the rest of your young adult life look like after that trauma to your family?
You know, I think you're kind of dealt with, you know, you just got to handle whatever you're dealt with, right? So thankfully, my mom's mom, so my grandma lived on one corner. My uncle, who's like a godsend, the best human ever, lived across the street from us. And then we had the other house. So like we could literally walk, I don't know, 100 feet to each other's houses, which was awesome because we had this, you know, really close support system right there. And I cheered in high school as well. So, you know, when she passed away, like the entire both competitive and school. Like we had a big support system. My mom was named the most inspirational person of our city the year she passed away. Like people were just flooding our house with like just there, you know, which is amazing. You know, like no one knows what to say and it's awkward, but it was just like people there and I never really had to be alone, which was nice for me. And my sister, my younger sister, kind of handled things a little differently than I did. And it was quite tough for, I mean, tough for both of us, but quite tough for her. And, but she had the same community she cheered with me. So it was good to, you know, have a good support system. And we had a lot of family that, you know, pretty close, but I love my dad. But he never was the prime caretaker for us. So when he was thrown with essentially two teenage girls one day, he was like, what the heck am I doing?
Right.
And trying to cope with the loss of the love of his life. So I'm super thankful that we had the support that we did from everyone else around, because like that really helped. Like I remember going grocery shopping. Like my dad gave me a credit card and I was the one going grocery shopping and like doing the things that my mom was doing.
Well, that's a huge role for anyone to take over, caregiving for anybody, and then to do it while you're grieving is a whole other layer to that, right?
Yeah, it was really tough for him. And I don't know that I've really ever dug deep with him about it, but I don't think that he would have. I truly believe that we didn't know how severe it was until like hours before she passed away.
And I find that very true on my own breast cancer story. Even with my sister, I didn't realize it. Like the night that my sister passed away, I didn't go to the ER thinking that I was losing my sister that night. Like that was not my intention ever. Like I really thought I had more time with her. And even in the last month of her life, it just happened so fast. And that's what's always so, that was what surprised me the most was, you know, you get a stage four diagnosis of breast cancer, any cancer, and you know, it's a marathon, you know, it's not something that you're going to get this quick fix and you're going to get through treatment and in 3 months, you're going to be cancer free, which, you know, that's just not what you get when you get a stage four diagnosis or metastatic. You get this marathon treatment, you know, and it's like this long drawn out kind of process. And so you kind of get stuck in this, we're on this marathon run, you know, and we just know that, you know, for me, it was like, I know Jenny's sick and I know that she's got treatment and I know her regimen and I know that it's, I'm in this for the long haul and there's no quick fix to this. But then when it happens, it's very quick and it comes so like, you just don't, you're not ready for it because you've been on this marathon run the whole time.
I think too, you're almost blinded because you see it every day. Mm-hmm. It's like your kids, right? Like you see Cash every single day, but if you didn't see him for a month, imagine how much he would have, like how much bigger he would look. Or same thing with like gaining weight. Like clients tell me, you know, they don't even realize, and before they know it, they've gained 50 pounds. It's like when you look at yourself every day in the mirror, you don't realize the gradual changes. But if you look at, like, I look back at pictures, I'm like, how did I not realize? Like, she was a completely different color.
Yeah.
But when you're in it every single day, you don't see it, you know?
No, I agree. I was out in the same, maybe like a week or two before my sister had passed away. I was traveling and I was actually on the CrossFit podcast. So I was gone for about a week and a half. And this is during her last 4 weeks of life. And when I came back, I mean, I had actually seen her, the change, because I was gone for a week and she had lost probably an additional 15 pounds. But my sister was with her every day while I was gone. And I was like, Charlene, this is bad. This like, we need to do something. Where my sister sitting next to her didn't see it as bad as I saw it. And then, you know, it kind of woke her up a little to start. We needed to do something a little bit more drastic. And that's when we started looking at a hospice and other caregiving options, because it was beyond our care at that point.
So your sister ended up going into hospice towards the end?
No. Number one, she was denied. And then
what?
A week later, she passed away. We couldn't even get her into hospice.
Wow.
Because they even were like, she's 45. She, you know, like it was, they just, she didn't qualify.
Wow. We,
yeah. So. Whew. So on that. And after high school, you go to college.
Mm-hmm. So I actually.
Did you stay local? Did you stay close to your dad? Like, what did that look like from I almost kind of want to ask, like, how's your dad now? Where's your dad today?
So my dad is probably in Colombia right now, if I would have to guess. He got married to a lady while I was in college. Yeah, she's really nice. You know, he was in a tough position because having two teenage girls is not easy. Like, especially with not their mom to like keep them in order, and him trying to date anyone while we were in high school, like he didn't even try. Nor did he want to, I'm sure. But when he did start dating people, I don't think that my sister and I were very open. So the marriage ended up being like pretty quick with him dating someone. And then he got married pretty quick, and she's been around for a while. Yeah, but he's doing good. Yeah, he's doing good. We don't have the closest relationship. I'm thankful for who he is, and I'm here today because of him, obviously. Yeah, my mom and I were really, really close.
I just find it so hard, and I've seen a few men struggle in this situation, you know, after losing their wives and what that life looks like afterwards. And I've seen from, you know, I'm on the outside looking in, and I've definitely have witnessed some of my friends lose their wives and what that journey looks like in continuing their life after that. And it's a challenge. And I think that especially for men, I think women can adapt to change a little bit faster. And I think that men get a little bit more settled in their ways and get used to having that person in their lives, you know, where I think that women can just be like, okay, like, honestly, I think that we're more resilient, which is why we have babies. Nothing to put down men. I just think that men, they get married and they're in it for the, you know, they're it's his wife, you know? And so seeing some of my friends have to go through that and how hard it is. And I've also seen the judgment that happens afterwards of once they do start dating, and that question of, is that enough time or is that not enough time? And it's such a challenging topic because you don't know until you're in that position, you know, and until you have to make those decisions.
Yeah. You know, and I think it was tough for him. Like, I give him props, and you know what, to be truthful, I'm so thankful for my mom's brother. Like, I talk to him regularly. He actually was the person that did the father-daughter dance at my wedding. And like, he is like such a godsend. And I'm beyond thankful for the role that he had in my sister and I's life, and his wife, right? My aunt, like, they really were able to step up and help my dad so that he could cope and kind of put his life back together, right? Because he owned a business too. So he was trying to, you know, still manage his business while grieving, attempting to raise two teenage girls. I mean, it's tough. It's super tough.
Do you feel that when you lost your mom, you kind of lost your dad?
I think my mom kept my dad grounded. And I think when she passed away, there was no one kind of keeping him grounded. So he kind of, you know, did his thing.
Did his thing. You're so sweet. So you go, you're in high school, you get through high school. Yep. This is a huge, huge life-changing, life-altering moment in your life. You still go to college, graduate college. Mm-hmm. You run a very successful company, you're changing and saving people's lives every single day. What type of influence did watching, you know, your mom's story have on your everyday life today?
literally everything. You know, we completely changed our diet and that sparked my interest in nutrition. And I cheered at University of Florida. I definitely actually just posted about today. It's National Eating Disorder Week. And I definitely had some disordered eating habits. Like I thought if I ate less, I would look a certain way. And I put pressure on myself. There wasn't pressure from the outside, but I put pressure on myself to look a certain way when I cheered. And, you know, it was not healthy what I was doing at all. And the coach sent us all to a dietitian. And I was like, holy cow, I could help people like eat healthy and make a living off of it. It was amazing. So, you know, I changed my major the next day, became a dietitian, spent 5 years in undergrad, and then went to grad school to get my master's in nutrition to be a dietitian. And, you know, that was really kind of my passion, right? I wanted to help people. I wanted to be on the wellness side. I knew that. I volunteered in undergrad at a private practice in Gainesville, and she let me really do like the majority, whatever I wanted to do. She let me be involved with every aspect of the business, which was awesome. And I loved every bit of it. And when I graduated, I still didn't really understand how to run a successful business. Like she ran a private practice that could not support two people like myself and her. So I had to get another job and I was applying for jobs. Ended up landing a job in South Florida in Boca as a dietitian at a hospital and worked there. I found CrossFit while I was in college and joined a CrossFit when I moved down to South Florida because I knew one person, a girl I cheered with in college. When I moved down here, I didn't know anyone else. So I was like, I need to meet some friends. Let me go to a CrossFit gym and meet some people.
That's how I make friends.
I mean, it just works out well. So I joined a CrossFit gym. I was working as the dietitian at a hospital, and I really struggled in that position. I struggled because what I was told I had to tell people and the way we were teaching people to eat. And if people didn't eat enough, at least 50% of their food, I was supposed to give them Ensure, and that has like 60 grams of sugar in it. And I truly believe cutting down and cutting out the amount of added sugar will significantly decrease your risk for chronic disease. Like there's proof of it. And I morally couldn't stay at the hospital, and I ended up starting my private practice when I moved down to South Florida. And when I met my husband, he was a few years later was like, you just need to quit the hospital and go all in with a private practice. And that's what I ended up doing. I think it was like 2014 that I left the hospital and was like, okay, I'm going to put all of my eggs in this basket and make it work. And it worked.
Well, so I think that you touched on a very interesting topic, which is what they were teaching you at this hospital was incorrect. So it wasn't incorrect. I mean, yeah. I think that there's different ideologies to nutrition.
Yep.
And I think that the conversation of nutrition is probably almost as like debatable as politics or religion. It's like it's truly a way of life and a belief system. I feel
absolutely.
And I think that by you making a stance and saying this is not what I believe in, and so therefore I can't practice this. It's not you saying it's wrong. It's you saying I don't believe in this. This is not the nutrition I would preach or teach. So I can't work here anymore. It's almost like saying I don't believe in, you know, this spiritual practice. And so I'm going to, not to say it's wrong, it's just not my belief systems, right? And so let's talk a little bit about what that looks like on the medical side, what you've seen versus kind of a lot of the new, I don't want to say trends, but the new information that I feel like CrossFit has really unveiled and revealed to the masses. You know, I started learning about CrossFit after, or nutrition after I was a CrossFitter, mm-hmm. and started understanding it more because there was just a different ideology out there now that I had never heard of.
Yeah.
And so kind of talk about what you've seen on the medical side versus what you're seeing in our community.
Yeah. So the medical system is very slow to adapt. Like I worked for a chain of hospitals that was thousands of hospitals. Thousands. So like whatever we did at our hospital was the same that every other hospital did in our healthcare system. so that it wasn't like I could say, I don't want to do this at our hospital, or I don't want to prescribe this. Like, I was told we had guidelines and recommendations of what we were to do, and that's what I wanted, or that's what I had to do. Could I get around some things and maybe like encourage people to eat whole food or give them additional snack or ask an additional snack to come up on their plate? Like, yes, I could do that. But if they weren't eating 50% of their food, I was told I needed to give them Ensure. And that was the only option for a supplement for people at the hospital that I was working at. So
did they have a deal with Ensure?
No, yeah, of course. Like Ensure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like a lot of this is because there's deals.
Oh, there's financial gain
on the table. It's like, it's about money.
It's always about, everything is about money. So yes, there was a contract. I mean, there's a lot of different supplement companies out there that provide meal replacement supplements like Ensure, some of the other ones that are out there. So that was, you know, a piece of the puzzle. And then the other thing that I really struggled with, and we work with a lot of physicians in healthy substance nutrition with the mentoring program, and I've had physicians call me before so frustrated with their hospital because they have a diabetic patient that's getting juice. And we know that juice and sugar will spike up your blood sugar faster than a piece of fruit will. You look at the, like, test someone's blood sugar before and after juice, it goes up drastically versus an apple. It does. Like, the glycemic index, mm-hmm. is there. So they would get super frustrated with me. And it was the same thing with diabetics at the hospital. As long as they had under 60 grams of carbohydrates per meal, they could have whatever they wanted. So if you want a cookie or two cookies or three cookies and it is under 60 grams of carbs, then you're fine. And people that do the ordering aren't dietitians, they're diet techs. So they don't understand exactly what is the glycemic index or load or how someone's blood sugar is going to be affected by different types of food. They only see the number that the computer will let them enter in for the carbohydrates for a meal. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not just in Florida. That's like everywhere.
I just feel like this is basic knowledge. Am I ignorant here? Like, I could be very ignorant on this topic when it comes, because there's a lot of things in breast cancer that I've learned that I was very ignorant to and just naive that I didn't know. But this is really happening in our medical system.
Things in hospital settings are really tough to change. And there's not many dietitians that you can talk to that won't tell you, okay, orange juice is going to spike up your blood sugar. M&Ms are going to spike up your blood sugar faster than an apple. Like, everyone knows that. But when you look at like the way the rules are written in hospitals, it a lot of times will say you just have to have under X number of grams of carbs per meal. And you know, you wonder why you're always playing this catch-up game with diabetics, because they, you know, eat something and then they have to give themselves insulin and then their blood sugar goes down and then back up. And it's like this constant yo-yo, and you can never get them in a good place for an extended period of time because they're constantly going up and down and playing this catch-up game with insulin.
Well, I think you made a fantastic decision on building your own practice and creating a different path and a different road that people could follow and walk down. And I'm so incredibly grateful that you did, because any woman that contacts us now is going to get to walk down your road that you're building. And that's like, there's nothing more that I could ask for a breast cancer survivor to get your knowledge and your information with your life experience, period.
Man, I have goosebumps. Thank you. I think I love everything that you guys have done ever. Like, Barbells for Boobs is such an amazing organization, and the amount of people that you guys have impacted is just incredible. Right before we started recording, I was talking about Lauren, who I cheered with in college and ended up being one of the people that you guys really were able to help her through her journey. And, you know, when someone gets diagnosed with breast cancer, they're just so overwhelmed and everyone wants to help, right? So you have all these people just throwing different information at you. I remember at a CrossFit gym that's pretty close to us, our HQ location, one of their coaches, his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And She's super young too. They have 3 or 4 kids. She's in great shape. She did CrossFit, worked out all the time. Super, like, just, he's a pastor, like, great human mm-hmm. beings. And he reached out to me one day and was like, Nicole, we've got this chapter in our lives. We need your help. And they come in and she, you know, it got emotional a little bit for all of us because she's like, everyone's trying to tell me all these different things about nutrition. And I understand everyone's just trying to help, but it's super confusing for the person that's in there. And even more importantly, for the spouse of the person that's in there, because they just want to help too.
Yes. Yes. Is that how you found, how did you find Barbells for Boobs? Was it through Lauren?
No, I was following you guys before. I think the gym that I went to did like a Barbells for Boobs fundraiser, you know, like the event years and years ago in Gainesville, CrossFit Gainesville. And I think that's eventually that's how I had my first connection. And then when you guys ended up starting to help Lauren, I was like, wow, now I want to get involved some way, shape, or form. I mean, that was years ago, right? And
well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'll share the Lauren story and how we found Lauren really quickly because it was a really special time for us. I want to say it was in 2012. We found Lauren and her coach had contacted us and said, you know, somebody in my gym was just diagnosed. She's 26. And it was like October and they were about to put on their event. And they were like, is there any way that your tour can come to our event? And I remember I was about 9 months pregnant.
Oh
my gosh. Like I was like literally like so pregnant that they kicked me off the bus and they were like, you got to go home. You can't travel anymore. And I was back home answering all the info at emails. And so of course this info app comes through and I call my people on the road and my husband's the captain driver. And, you know, I had a crew out on the road and they literally had just finished an event in Texas and I believe Lauren was in Atlanta the gym is out in Atlanta. And so, you know, so the next spot where my team had to be was like in the Northeast area. And I said, they could totally go to Atlanta. So I asked him, I was like, you know, can you hold on for a second? Let me see if my crew can make it there. Cause his event was going to be like that next weekend.
Oh man.
And so, yeah. And so I call my team and they're like, Z, we're not going to Atlanta. We're going to go through Tennessee. We're going to go hang out with Froning and ride dirt bikes. So they had some plan. Maybe they made it up. It was probably never actually planned with Froning.
Cool.
No, but they had some like, they had some crazy plan or idea that they were going to drive through Tennessee. They want to go to Tennessee. I just remember that much. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to drive to Atlanta.
And you're going to drive up this girl who is about to go through the battle of her life.
And I was like, she just got diagnosed. Like we have to show up for her. Like there's no option here. And so they turned the bus and, within 2 days they were at her affiliate and they all showed up and I wish I could have been there. Everyone still talks about this day. It was just a blast. And I know that it was really important for Lauren. I know that it was a big piece of her, you know, a big moment in her life. And yeah, that's how we met Lauren. And so from there on, she, you know, I'm surprised she didn't get on the bus and continue on with it.
I wouldn't be surprised if she actually did do that. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. But at the end of the day, the thing that I'm passionate about is helping others and helping them find the best version of themselves, right? And whatever that looks like. And
100%.
And I think that that's a staple at Barbells for Boobs is whenever somebody's asking us a question, and that's really what we've done in the evolution of our programs and our services. We're just like, we get questions and we're responding to what people are asking for in our community. And that's where we really are evolving to. It's like, I just have my ear to the street and I'm like, what do you guys want? Because the community owns us, you know, like we exist because this community believed in my friend's story and you all chipped in and you all, you know, Barbells for Boobs is like events everywhere around the world. And it's like,
it's incredible.
Okay,
isn't it? Like just as
it's incredible.
The impact
and absolutely incredible. And so now we're in this place where again, women in our community are, they're so confused when it comes to nutrition. And then they're even more confused because their oncologists are telling them something else, or this person's telling them something else, or they're getting all these different, all this different information. And then at the end of the day, they're like, but Z, all I want to do is eat carbs. But everyone's telling me I can't eat carbs. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to help you find it, you know? And so that's where a lot of the stuff that we're working on right now is us just listening to the survivors and listening to our community and saying, what road do we go down? You know, that year was, hey guys, you got to go to Atlanta.
Get on this highway and go support Lauren.
Get on the highway and go support Lauren, please. So I think that it's just a beautiful circle on how number one, how small our community is and how much we are all so connected to each other. So
absolutely. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Like, you're just there to help support and give people the help when they need it the most. And that's, you know, our goal too, right? Like, let's make nutrition as simple as possible and keep people accountable to what they say they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you taking on this project now, and just to give a little sneak peek on basically what we're building here, is to ensure that any woman that wants nutritional resources after diagnosis is going to be connected with Healthy Steps Nutrition. And have you all really had a large population of cancer patients that you've worked with, or what kind of, can we talk about like nutrition and cancer just really briefly, and what your approach looks like for our rad nutrition?
Yes, of course. So we definitely have worked with quite a few cancer patients. You know, I've dabbled in some things, and, you know, I always knew, like, let's limit the amount of processed food, sugar, right? I think that was the biggest thing. And I guess it was probably 2 or 3 years ago at the CrossFit Health Conference when they started bringing up keto and cancer. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Keto is such a hot topic. Like, is that realistic for people when they're nauseous and going through treatment? And is it realistic for people? But the guy, the doctor who talked about it, he had so much research that he was like pulling from that's all new, right? So we dabbled in it with a few people. One of the gyms running our program, the owner, his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and she was probably the first one 3 or 4 years ago that I was working with pretty closely, with specifically ketogenic diet and during cancer treatment and how it was helping her. And we started working together, and we ended up being together at the CrossFit Games. And she was like, Nicole, my numbers have gone down and they haven't been this good in years. And she had been fighting this battle of cancer for a while. So, you know, I think that was the first person that I, beyond the hospital, right? I don't really count the hospital because I couldn't really give ongoing support and I was kind of limited with my scope there. But that was the first person I would say that we really started working with closely. And since then, it's been more and more people. I mean, I had a call this week with a husband. Gosh, it was like, I got choked up during the call at least once because I'm like, this is my dad. Like, this situation is my mom and my dad. Like, the guy is literally trying anything and everything to help his wife. And she, same thing, diagnosed with breast cancer, came back as bone cancer. And, you know, she listened to some documentary and is doing vegetarian, cut out all meat, because there was a documentary, I don't remember what the health maybe, that basically said, if you eat vegan, it'll take away your cancer, right?
I love
essentially is what it was saying.
I'm laughing because that is such a huge statement to like, for somebody that's just watching a documentary. And I think that when it comes to our health and medical advisement, that we should lean on our medical professionals and not documentaries. That's why I laugh, is go to your doctor.
The thing with nutrition is like, everyone calls themselves a nutritionist. Like, who are actually the credentialed people that have the right legally to give you nutrition advice? It's dietitians. Are all dietitians you know, saying the same thing? No. Are all doctors or all lawyers great doctors? No. So, you know, you got to really sort the fiction from the facts and do your own research too. I was just at CrossFit HQ and we went through The Game Changers, that new documentary, right? That's essentially talking about vegan diet and how great it is for you. And you take one statistic and multiply it by 100, it makes it sound like vegan is the only way you should be eating. But, you know, look at the backing of those movies. They're all financially invested in some vegan protein company. Do you not think that it's going to help the...
I'm like, again, insure.
Like, go get insured.
back the money.
Oh, man. It's, you know, our goal with this RAD program is to kind of sort the fiction from the facts and really give people a direction and support with whatever decision they make. Like, if you want to go vegan and do that, okay, let's help you do it in a healthful way instead of just replacing, you know, food products or real food with food products. Instead of having, you know, ground beef, you're having like soy-based Morningstar crumbles that are super processed and have a ton of artificial crap in there. So, like, yes. Eat real food.
That mic drop. Like, I'm not even going to say anything after that. I think I've been exposed to nutrition. So I started CrossFit in 2007, and I feel like I've just from what CrossFit has provided me from the wealth of information that they provide to for free for everybody. And, you know, I've tried everything from zone to paleo to, you know, counting my macros. And, what I've learned in the past 12 years is I found something. I was a carnivore. I haven't done the vegan thing. But what I've learned is it's so individual.
Absolutely.
It's like, I have learned what works for me, what doesn't work for me, where I get reactions. Like, my disorder is called donuts, but whatever, that's my food disorder. I have a problem with donuts. Donuts and I, you know, we just, it's kind of an addiction. It's kind of a problem. But so I've learned the things that, and again, but each process of what I went through with zoning, okay, I kind of like learned how to measure things. And I actually, zone really taught me what macros were way mm-hmm. back when I just, you know, that basic information. And then paleo really taught me like, oh, just eat whole foods. Just, you know, as mm-hmm. long as it's whole, you can eat it, right? The macros was like, okay, now the science behind it and how you can really like calculate and get really geeky on it. And it was kind of like a science project for me. And I loved it. And I did it with my weight and I calculated everything. And then I was like, okay, can I not do this anymore? This is like, I'm done with this math equation. Can I move on with my life? And then what the carnivore diet taught me was I never really experienced eating like really fatty meats and how tasty they are and cooking them and experimenting with really exotic meat. And so now I incorporate that into my diet and so, or into my eating habits, you know? So I think that what I've learned in the collective 12 years of me learning about nutrition and learning about my own body and my food is that it takes that experimentation. It takes you really digging into it and being a student of your own body and an advocate for your own health to learn what works the best for you.
And a lot of people don't even know how their body's intended to feel because they put so much crap in it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I just had a client today who's been struggling with, you know, food addictions for quite some time, and he finally is like eating so much real food and cut out all the sugar that he had sugar one time, like quite a bit of it in one sitting. And I was like, well, how did you feel after? He goes, Nicole, I've never felt so bad. Like, mm-hmm. could you imagine eating that all the time? Like, that's how your body was feeling on a regular basis. And now that you don't put that into your body all the time, it's amazing what happens because your body's not used to having to go in that overdrive of having so much junk in one sitting, right?
I mean, you really look at if we can say food is medicine, it's also a drug.
Absolutely. You know,
so it's like medicine is a drug, right? So medicine in a healthy way is what we're striving for. But when you look at food from a drug perspective and an unhealthy perspective, like, it will kill you.
Yeah.
Like, if you aren't consuming healthy medicine, it can kill you. And the idea of, you know, and this is what comes to my mind is, unfortunately, I've been really unfortunately exposed to a lot of drug use in my life. Not me, totally drug free. But you know, having experienced my father's, one of his girlfriends, she, passed away from an OD because, she was in jail. And then when she was released, she went back to her drugs thinking she could take the same dose of what she was doing before she had cleaned up.
Oh my gosh.
And she OD'd. And so that it's that same idea of when you take a toxic, something toxic like sugar out of your body and then you put it back in, thinking that you could still handle what you were handling before is kind of that same concept. Don't think it's going to kill you. Donut's not going to kill you. I'm not trying to compare it to to donut killing you, but it's, you know, that's a really wide range and a very like, but if you don't fix the drug that you're putting in your body, that's what it eventually is going to happen. Like that's.
Yeah. I mean, the statistics for chronic disease are crazy. And the crazy thing is most people don't even know what is happening on the inside of their body. They have no idea that they have a chronic disease because the majority of people go undiagnosed, which, you know, diabetes, I mean, how many people are living with cancer and don't even realize it, right? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and to know that you're either fueling disease or fighting it with what you put in your mouth kind of makes you rethink, like, what am I eating? Am I really caring for my body the way I should? And that's really our goal, is to teach people how to eat and eat well consistently. Because anyone can eat well Monday through Friday or for a 28-day challenge, but can you really make it a part of your life and really set yourself up for success long term?
And that's the hardest part. And I think that was one thing that I've definitely learned. And especially, you know, I've learned. And so I take what I've learned and I give it to others. Like, you know, my mom is struggling right now with stage 3 liver disease. And when you can change your lifestyle, and it's not like changing habits don't happen in 28 days or changing habits don't happen in a 14-day, you know, cycle. Like, people are like, oh, just do 14 days of this or 28 days. Like, it doesn't, those things have never worked for me. It's always been try this out, stick to it for a really long time and keep doing it. Like, I was a carnivore for a year and a half. Like, did I have my ups and downs with it? Yes, 100%. But for me to really understand it and get something from it, I needed to commit to it for a long period of time. And so, like with my mom right now, the only thing that we've changed with her, they haven't changed any of her medication. I've only changed her diet. And we're literally talking about, like, my mom's not going to fast food 3 times a day. Like, she's now eating at home and I'm showing her basic whole food concepts and ideas. Mm-hmm. And now she doesn't have high blood pressure anymore.
It's amazing.
And her, for the last 30 years, my mom has been living with high blood pressure. And in 4 weeks, we changed her diet and now she doesn't have high blood pressure. And I'm like, do you see, mom? And I think that my mom had to see the results like that of, I didn't make her do anything else, but like take some certain foods away and supplement it with healthier options. And, you know, I think that sometimes, unfortunately, situations like my mom, she's waited till it's almost too late. Like, her liver's failing her right now. And so I wanted to make sure that this was that the nutrition part after diagnosis was a part of what we were doing, because we talk about improving quality of life, because we're talking about making healthy choices, that to me, the foundation is nutrition. And so if we can't have a conversation with a breast cancer survivor about basic nutrition, then we have failed them, in my perspective, at Barbell Shaboobs. And so
you're right. And, you know, part of it is with cancer and treatment, like, so much is out of your hands, right? Like you're relying on doctors and everyone else to put together the perfect chemo regimen, and how many treatments are you going to have for this or that? Or it's, they're not the ones that are like in control of their treatment regimen, right? Like you have a say, but you're not the one making the decision of exactly what's going in there. And with nutrition, you are the one. Like you can control what you put in your body is in regards to your food. And that's one piece where you make the decisions, right? Like you steer the boat with how you're going to fuel your body before, during, after treatment.
Yes. And I think that the awareness is heightened once you get a cancer diagnosis, right? Like, I think that that's when that signal of, wow, I need to start taking care of myself. I need to start exercising, or I need to start eating better. You automatically, from story after story, what I've heard is people become better after breast cancer.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it's because your awareness heightens and you start really saying, like, I get one body and one opportunity here to do it right. Right. And so that's that. And this is why we're bringing this program to life, because it's not out there. It doesn't exist unless I've missed something.
I don't think you missed anything. It's not out there. And there's just so much mixed information out there. People are just confused and they need some support. They need people to tell them it's going to be okay. And we're here helping you, and we're going to be here to guide you. And like, you're not in it alone. And I think that's the amazing part of the RAD community. I remember coming out to California a year and a half ago for the first, or maybe it wasn't the first one I went to, RAD community event. And it was just amazing to hear the stories. And Jason and I got to cook for everyone and share some healthy recipes. Like, eating healthy can taste really well if you learn how to do it.
100%. And again, the takeaway from the collective, you know, the nutrition was, again, the top topic that they're yearning for more information. They're yearning for more resources. They're sponges. They want to learn, you know, and they're just like, give me this information. And again, I think that it's the duty of Barbells for Boobs. And I think that, you know, honoring your mom and being able to build this partnership is all meant to be and very purposeful for the road ahead. So I'm super excited. I do have one last question for you.
Okay. I love it.
What was your biggest lesson from breast cancer?
That's a really good question. I think for me, it's really cherish the memories and like live every day to the fullest with as much grace as you can. Because my mom was the most influential person in my life, 100%. And I only got to be with her for 14 years. And just the way she handled every single situation with so much positivity is something that I strive to do on a daily basis. So, you know, the biggest lesson I learned was just be positive and know that no matter what the outcome is, as long as you give it your full effort and you stay positive, it's going to be okay no matter what the outcome is. Like, my mom left such an amazing legacy, which lives on today through everything that we're doing in Barbells for Boobs. And it's truly amazing. Like, I shared the story. So she passed away February 7th, 2002. And this February 7th is when we kind of finalized the contract. And I posted this long thing on social media, and hundreds of comments from my mom's friends, people messaging me, like my mom's past employers, like everyone. Like, she just had such a positive influence on everyone's life. It's amazing. And I'm thankful to be able to carry that on and be able to help the people in the RAD community shed a little bit of positive light on a situation that's not ideal, right?
100%. Well, we're super grateful that our paths have crossed, and I'm so excited to get you on the line with all of the RAD community. I know that they've been like just sitting there waiting patiently, but the program will launch next month. And so we're March. So we're releasing this
like a couple days.
In a couple days. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our community?
I think we covered a lot of it. And what we didn't cover today, we're going to cover all the nutrition talk when we do our podcast. But, you know, I'm thankful to be a part of the Barbells for Boobs community. I think you guys are doing such an amazing thing, and I'm excited for the future.
Same here. Couldn't say it better. Well, we will be on the Healthy Steps Nutrition podcast coming up after this that will be released in mid-March 2020. So for more information, you'll have to check that out, and we'll go more in detail with the nutrition program. Nicole, thank you so much for coming on today, sharing your story. I know that it's not easy always to talk about loss and the hard times in your life, but I really appreciate you shining a bright light on your mother.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Remember, everyone, live with grace. We'll just end it like that. All right. Lights out. Thanks for tuning in. And thank you to the producer, Chris Hansen, all on deck, sound engineer, lights engineer. And we're out. Peace.